Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evert.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Evert. We are the Unhallowed Reviewers. We missed a week last week because Evert had to drive a group of undead school children to some event.
Yeah, retreat. It wasn't fun. I don't suggest driving undead school children anywhere, much less a retreat.
Are they more annoying than live children? Wait, that's a weird question.
Let's say no.
Okay. No, that's fair. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but nothing is as annoying as live humans, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So what are we talking about today?
I don't know, all sorts of fun stuff. We've got some random news, little bits, things that have come out recently. Kick it off with talking about the Stranger Things 3 trailer that just dropped today. It looks like it's going to carry on the charm of the first two seasons. It looks like if you were a fan of those first two seasons, you're going to love season 3. There's not going to be much to rattle the cage, I don't think, from what we've come to expect from the series. But it does look like they are going to be mixing it up a little bit on the creature front. We were talking about off record that, you know, the creature design from season 1 to season 2 wasn't mind-blowing. It wasn't going to, blow anybody's mind. It wasn't going to break out from the norm. The creature design was very similar to the one for the first season, which was fine. It just wasn't crazy cool and unique. Based on what we've seen from the trailer, it looks like they're going to be breaking off into a different area as far as the creature design. And I think even maybe how the creature comes about. One thing that I kind of noticed that I'm probably pulling too much from, there are two clips in the trailer that I would like to combine in my own head because I think it would be fun. There's a brief little shot where you see a guy looking down at his arm and like his veins are kind of like turning black. There's kind of like a black spot on his arm. Yeah. And then in the final waning moments of the trailer, you get to see this creature that's kind of like bursting, kind of like it looks like it's kind of growing at a high rate. And I want those to be related. I want the creature to burst out of somebody and for somebody to turn into one for the other world, what's it called? The upside down?
Yeah.
To be like
the right side round.
The right side round. It's for it to be like affecting the world more directly in that way of like, or I should say like affecting the world. Like we've seen it affect like plant life, I believe, where like it's dying out and stuff like that. But for the most part, other than the kid that got stuck there. And brought back, there hasn't been much of an experience with it, like, directly affecting humans.
Yeah, like, a huge connection between them, except for Will. I mean, you don't really have anybody else with that. No one that gets attacked turns into, like, a were-upside-down person.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be kind of cool for them to explore that. And hopefully, that's what we saw in the trailer, because that would be really fun.
Yeah. I'm really excited for it. I'm a huge fan of Stranger Things. As I think we both are, but I mean, every time I see one of those trailers, I just like it's so much nostalgia and goosebumps. I'm just ready. I love it. It's great.
It's true. Yeah. It's good. I mean, it's kind of like a milder, more accessible form of like Stephen King stories.
Yeah.
Where like it's got the kid friends dynamic that is prevalent in a lot of Stephen King books, but it's also like. You know, you can watch it with almost anybody, and everybody can have a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Another trailer that did not strike as well as
Fear into Men's Hearts
3 trailer.
Oh.
What?
I'm just saying weird stuff.
was Body at Brighton Rock. It's this movie that I believe I actually made my top 10 most anticipated movies of the year, and I'm kind of gonna retcon that now having watched the trailer. The trailer makes it look way more bland than I was expecting. I was kind of, you know, the plot follows a kind of like rookie park ranger who finds a dead body in the woods and has to stay with the dead body overnight while the authorities arrive on scene. So, and that she, like, you know, is forced to confront her own demons because things happen in the dark. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so interesting. And, like, there's so many ways, so many different angles you can take. And then you watch the trailer and you're like, this looks really bland. It looks predictable. It looks not interesting at all. And it looks like, you know, what we're seeing is there's, first off, nothing supernatural appears that's going to happen at all. It appears,
which is unfortunate.
Yes, it looks like that. I feel like there could have been a lot of fun heading in that direction. I think that even a battle against nature could have been cool. But from the trailer, it's just like, yeah, a bear shows up. But for some reason, even in the trailer, in just that brief moment, I don't get any sense of danger from the bear. Like, I feel like it's something where it's like it shows up, she fights it off somehow, and that's it. And it doesn't become a struggle with this bear. It's just like, here's something to fill 10 minutes of time with. And I just didn't get this feeling. And it feels like the main focus is that, like, oh, this body, you know, died of unnatural causes. And there's this guy that keeps wandering in and out and being, like, obviously creepy. And you're like, well, this guy probably killed this person. And he's now playing games with the park ranger. It just, I don't know. There's just something about the vibe of it does not feel interesting to me anymore.
It sounds like what you're describing is like a American Pie movie where someone's like, what happens when Jason Bateman gets stuck in the mountains with a body? What crazy antics will ensue? It's like, will a bear mess with him? And like, what if a creepy guy keeps coming by? It's like, is this supposed to... Why would I watch this from anything that's, like, I'm reading right now? Is kind of how I feel about it. Like, I'm...
Yeah.
I'm like, I mean, could it be a ghost bear? Can we get a ghost bear, maybe?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, let's bring the... You know what? I don't even care if it makes sense. Just bring the bear back from Annihilation. Just throw that in there.
Oh, shit.
We didn't get enough of that thing anyways. I would be all for that.
Cool.
Just put that as a cameo in, like, every horror movie that doesn't know what it's doing with itself.
It's like the Wilhelm scream of monsters.
Yes. Yeah, just throw it in there. It's just in the background chewing some guy's face off, and, like, he doesn't have any reason for it. Like some girl's just, like, on the swing set talking about a boy that she likes at high school, and it's just gnawing on somebody in the background. Like,
boom,
I'm okay with that.
Boom, Annihilation Bear. One trailer we didn't talk about last week that I want to talk about this week was the Maw trailer. M-A. Ma.
Ma. Is that the one with the black lady and she invites people over to her house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was Ma. Okay, but it's just
maybe,
Ma.
Maybe it's both. Maybe there's two Ma's.
Oh my gosh, the sequel is Mama.
Is it? And the third sequel is...
That would be great.
Ma-ma-ma.
Yeah, there you go. And then, like, the prequel, it'll come out in a few years and it's just,
Okay, we're done with that bit. So what did you think of that trailer?
I definitely think it looks interesting. It's got this kind of, like, Jordan Peele vibe, like, Get Out vibe. Less Us vibe, more Get Out vibe.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't even going to compare it to those two, but...
And what I mean by that is not like, well, there's... I'm not trying to be, you know, like, really just not thinking it through at all. There's a black person, and then they juxtapose the black person with the white person.
You're good.
Oh, well, now I've done it. So, but, like, it's the undertone of, like, the psychological thriller aspect of it, where, like, you're never fully understanding what's really happening as the story's progressing. And you're having to, like, kind of figure it out along with the protagonist. And I'm getting that kind of vibe from this movie because, like, you're watching the trailer and you could kind of figure out what's happening, but even then you're still not entirely sure... Her motive. Like, you don't know what her motivation is.
No, you're just like, why is she even so angry when they're not at her house every night? And, like, she's buying them booze, but she's holding it against them really hard. And it's like, you're harsh on our chill, Ma.
Yeah, and then, like, you're trying to pick up on, like, because everything seems to happen so organically at first with this lady who's, like, disturbed, but, like, it seems to be occurring organically.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems interesting, like an interesting journey. Like, kind of like Orphan, you know? You're like, whoa, what's going on? Oh, shit. Oh, whoa. And then you're like, wow, that was fun once.
That was fun once. Yeah. Orphan is one of those movies where I don't think I'd ever watch it more than once. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about The Perfection.
Yeah. This movie I know practically nothing about. There was just a recent post that brought up that this is going to be a horror movie posted on Netflix tomorrow. Despite the plot, which sounds kind of like Black Swan with a cellist instead of a ballerina dancer, it's supposedly super brutal and like really violent and really funny and grindhousey. And so that sounds nothing like Black Swan.
Because remember, kids, you can only be passionate about something that's really creepy and weird, like art and music.
Yes. Yeah. If you're passionate about
football, you're good.
Real estate.
That wasn't a dig. That wasn't a dig. It was just more of like a sports. Sports.
Yay, sports.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. Wolf on Wall Street thing. Yeah, I mean, like, there's really only one way that can end up. Although, I guess there's American Psycho. All right, well, we'll move on. I don't know. It sounds really interesting to me. I will watch it tomorrow, and I will immediately review it.
I would watch an overzealous, grindhouse, funny version of Black Swan. That would be really funny.
Sure.
If Black Swan was a grindhouse brutal comedy, I think that it would be like Murder Party, and it would be really fun.
I liked Murder Party.
Murder Party.
I thought that movie was fun. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I doubt it's going to be...
we'll see.
We're, of course, going to try to catch... I'm gonna find a way to catch Us.
That's what movie. I was thinking. I was like, you're going to be watching this movie, and I'm going to be watching Us, so...
Yep, I'm so excited for
that. Yeah, it has one of my favorite actors...
in the near future.
Ever.
Is
I think your quote was he's trying to out ridiculous himself, which
yes.
I thought was a perfect description of just Nick Cage's life.
Nicolas Cage has just like been progressively just been like increasing the just out of this world insaneness of the plots that he picks, and I love it that he's just like no shame. He's just like, okay, I'm going for it. Sounds great. And this particular movie is going to be called Jiu-Jitsu, and it is about a martial artist who fights an alien named Brax every 6 years. And Nicolas Cage joins up with this martial artist when the Brax comes back to fight again. And that's
oh, so
the
he's
fun.
Not even the artist.
No, he's not artist. The martial artist. The name is mentioned of who it is. They have that actor picked out, but I don't remember who it was. That plot sounds insane. I think you made a really good point. It does sound like Dragon Ball Z. It sounds like Goku except Goku's not human. Pretending Goku's human.
No, that
human
means that Nick Cage is Master Roshi, and that's freaking awesome. Right? So this martial artist is Goku, and Nick Cage is Master Roshi, and Brax is obviously Piccolo, and then now we have our now we have a DBZ movie that people actually want to watch.
Yeah, and it will probably be more accurate to the canon of Dragon Ball than the Dragon Ball movie was.
And more entertaining.
On accident, yes.
Yeah, on accident, and that's the problem. Awesome. I'm so excited for that movie. I can't even... When Sickle told me about that, I immediately got demon goosebumps.
I really hope that... Is there, like, a hellspawn that is equivalent to a goose that you could call it? Like, you know...
I don't know.
Grizzleback bumps or something. I don't know.
Something, I don't know.
Something better Beelzebumps? Than Beelzebumps. Beelzebumps! It's Beelzebumps! Oh, I love it. Yes, that. I just really hope that that's actually a thing that he's purposefully trying to do, and like the next movie that he takes, like somebody will be like, "Hey, we were just wondering if you could join us for Kate Blanchett in this rom-com," and he's like, "Nah, I'm not doing that." And they're like, "But wait, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man shows up about halfway through, and Nicolas Cage has to try to stop it with a zombie Bill Murray from Zombieland, and there's no explanation for why it's happening at all. And he's like, yes, never mind, I will take that.
I'm in.
That's that. Yeah.
The less explanation, the better.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want it to make that. Like, if it starts to make sense to me, I don't want to do it. That's what I want out of Nick Cage from now on.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with whatever he does, because I'm one of the few people in the world that like Face Off. So.
Oh, I love Face Off.
Well, I think we've talked about this. Is an exact conversation we've had. I think we have this conversation every time Nick Cage is on this podcast.
Okay, that's okay. Everybody
knows. No, it's not bad. It's just, yeah. You've probably heard this before. It's not deja vu. It's actually happened before. So the final movie that we want to talk about tonight, as far as like trailers or upcoming movies, is called Boar. And it's an Australian creature movie about a killer pig in the wilds of Australia, I assume.
Yes. And the trailer looks awesome to me. It looks like it's going to be kind of like a dark comedy, horror comedy situation, creature feature. But I think it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And it just got me thinking that, like, there's enough killer pig movies to make a list. And even more surprising, most of them are pretty good / entertaining. Even when they're not, you know, they might be hot garbage, they're way more fun hot garbage than most other movies.
So take a hint, Sharknado. You don't have to have a gimmick to make a good creature feature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, there's probably, I may be exaggerating. There might be more killer pig movies better than killer crocodile movies.
Whoa, man. Whoa.
There's...
You don't know what you're saying.
Like, there's Lake Placid, mm-hmm. and there's Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then there's 3 killer pig movies that I'd watch again.
Uh-oh. Oh, like, you might be right.
There's Razorback from 1984.
What about Lake Placid, which too?
Is definitely kind of a cult guilty pleasure movie. There's Chaw, and there's Prey. And Chaw and Prey both came out around the same time, within a couple of years of each other, at the very least, if not in the same year. And they're both about killer warthogs, killer pigs. And they have some really, like, the Prey... Chaw takes itself less seriously. Prey surprisingly finds a way to take its plot very seriously. And it's probably the best of all of them. Like, the one that took itself most seriously about a killer pig is the best one of them. And both of those are foreign films, Chaw and Prey. Actually, Razorback is technically too, because it's an Aussie film. Chaw and Prey, you're going to have some subtitles that you would have to deal with if that's a problem for you. But I would recommend watching both of those at some point. They're very enjoyable. And hopefully, Boar will follow the same path, and it will have 4 good killer pig movies.
Well, if it's on a roll, it's on a roll, right?
Yes. I want killer pigs.
It's like a Roll Tide joke. Roll Tide. Sports.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
So, I think we're going to spend the rest of the episode talking about a lovely little collection of shorts that's now on Netflix, because Netflix is just, like, basically fired a shotgun at the wall and is, like, now realized that they shot gold out of the shotgun instead of, like, you know, just normal, like, lead, and they're able to just put things on Netflix that are just really good all the time. And it's called Love, Death, and Robots. It just came out. And then we're going to talk about shorts and how shorts are cool and we like them.
Yes. So, if you have not seen Love, Death, and Robots, we don't give a crap about losing.
Yeah, we're going to do spoilers, so you better not. You can stop now, and thanks for listening, and we appreciate it and everything, so you're good.
And do yourself a favor and stop and just go binge all of the shorts.
Mm-hmm. And then come back.
That's what you should do.
If you want.
Yes. Because they're all amazing. I think that we can both agree that the worst short was worth watching. And the best short, you don't want to stop.
Oh, yeah. You want it to be like, they're going to make like a series on this, right?
Yeah. Like, there's some, like, these shorts, if we haven't explained, they're, you know, love, death, and robots. It's so they have love, they have death, they have robots, and that is almost expressed in some capacity across all of them. But what you are guaranteed is a dark narrative, dark sci-fi narrative with high-end, high-quality animation. follows a broad range of animation styles.
One of the things that stopped me from watching this for a little bit was that I was, like, not ready for, like, another, like, sci-fi, like, Black Mirror kind of show from Netflix. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, we all are doing this now. You've come out with multiple kinds of this, and it's been kind of frustrating to see, like, oh, come on, can we do something a little different? I regret that. So don't stop yourself if you're, like, in the same mindset as I am. There's enough diversity amongst these shorts that it's not, like, the same kind of darkness that you get from every Black Horror episode. A lot of them are dark in, like, a happy way, like something happens and you're sad because you feel emotion, and that's good. And they're not all, like, futuristic. Some of them are kind of set in modern times, and some of them are just weird, and some of them are, you know, set in alternate futures and alternate presents, and it's nuts.
And alternate pasts, because you've got there's, like, one that's kind of like a steampunk Japan. And it's pretty stinking cool. It just really goes all over the spectrum. And like, even in style, like, I would say that the most prominent one, the most prevalent style of animation that you're going to see is, like, hyper-realistic CG, which is really well done. So there's all never a point where I was just like, oh, this is getting old. It's amazing. And then
they're all subtly different.
Like, oh, go ahead.
All of the hyper-realistic CG is, like, subtly different in terms of, like, you're watching it and you're like, this isn't what I just saw, but it's, like, still realistic and supposed to make me feel like it's real, you know?
Yeah. You get this breadth of just visual stunningness. One of them has almost this kind of, like, Pixar-y illustrated paint style on top of its CG. That one's about farmers that protect their land from interdimensional monsters in giant mechs that are, like, based on, like, tractor designs. It's great. It's amazing. And then, like, you've got another one that's just, you know, old school classical illustration style. That's the one that's the Japanese steampunk. And then you've got another one that's got almost this, like, rough edge, like, kind of indie comic book style. Where they're fighting, you know, it's a couple of guys and they're fighting Dracula. So, like, it just really goes across the spectrum. You're enjoying each one for a different reason. And every single story is just really fun.
Either. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like, none of them are, like, same enough that I felt like, oh, that was just that other one with a different, like, skin, right? All of these are, like, distinctly different, and it doesn't seem like they were given a premise for it. Like the ABCs of Death, you're, like, watching and you're like, these have to be different because they're all different alphabet letters, right? There's, like, this definitive, like, you'll never see the same thing, and you know that from the beginning. Going into, like, a short block like this, you have always that kind of fear of, like, is this gonna be all samey? Is it just about the animation? Blah, blah, blah. Like, because we go to Telluride, and some of those animation short blocks, it's like, three versions of the same animation with, like, different stories that are kind of meaningless, or, you know, something that can happen when you get to these types of things. But I can say right now, up to episode 13, that everything has been unique and interesting, and I've really enjoyed every episode I've seen so far.
Yeah, there's just not enough to say about them. Like I said, like, you've got this, like, tractor, this, like, futuristic farm land, you know, how do you handle the varmints that are coming from other dimensions and that kind of thing, to, like, this wartime play off of, like, Afghanistan with werewolves. It's like, what the heck? It's just so cool, like, how far like, how different the stories are, and everything that you get from these. It's amazing. And I would say that, like, I believe that Ifrit would agree with me on this, that one of our favorite parts, if not our favorite part, of Telluride are the shorts blocks. We love the shorts. The shorts are so good. And, like, after watching this, like, to me, being one of the biggest successes of Netflix so far, I'm willing to say that, is this anthology of shorts that they posted. It really got me thinking that, like, you know, there's just, like, it's almost that the possibilities are more endless with shorts than with full-length films. Like, there's just so much that I feel like I've seen more impactful shorts than I have in feature-length films, in that small sample size. Like, you get compacted narrative, you get compacted scares, you get compacted comedy. So, like, everything is, like, condensed, and so you get a bigger reaction because of it being condensed. It, like, suddenly saturates your emotions for each respective emotion. Like, they're
like
sadder,
an espresso shot to
they're
your
funnier.
System. Like, yeah, you're getting it all so fast, and you can react to it in that time period as well. It's not like it's force-feeding it to you and making you feel a certain way. Like, shorts, well-done shorts are a perfect way to, like, feel catharsis and feel things that you'd feel from watching a normal movie in just a short period of time. They're completely appropriate for, like, the generation that's watching stuff now. It's a way that people consume all types of media. People love short stories. Think of things like the No Sleep podcast, Creepypastas. There's tons of like, horror dramas and dramas done in short. Short story festivals are a thing. There's the short story magazines are coming back now. I mean, this whole genre of the short is, like, a huge thing.
Yeah. The impact they can have on you is just, I think, so much more than what most feature-length films will give you. And you don't, and you have to, you only have to donate, you know, a fraction of the time. I think one that really comes to mind for me was this one that was at the festival last year. I cannot remember the title of it. Let me know if you remember it. But it's about this woman that's OCD, and she decides that she's going to end her life, and she can't get to the point of ending her life because of her OCD. And, like, it sounds like this dark comedy, and for the most part it is. I'm not even sure. I don't think she even says a word the entire time. So you're just watching her go through this experience of she can't get, like, she's trying to write her suicide note, her suicide letter on the computer. She's typing it up, and then every time she finishes it, she's like, well, crap, I forgot this part. So she starts typing out this other part. The next thing you know, she's filling up, like, 3-ring binders full of information of things that she needs to make sure that she passes on, and, like, you're laughing, and it's, and you're enjoying it, and then it just has this moment where she breaks down because this is why she's killing herself. And, like, you suddenly experience her pain in this brief moment, and, like, I feel like that moment touched me more than most films ever have.
Because you, like, feel everything that she's feeling. Yeah, I agree. It was really cool.
And if you drew that over the course of a film, I don't feel like it would have the same impact. Like, you're experiencing this final moment. You don't know how she... You don't know everything that got her to this point. But you're experiencing the heart of the problem.
Yeah, and you would have to do too much. It'd be like making it in... It would be too long. You'd have to have filler, and there'd have to be other characters. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work.
Yeah, and I feel that way about a lot of these, even though that we said that, like, you know, a lot of those, we want more, and we'd be happy with more, like...
But not, like, more in a movie, shorts. Like, more and more shorts in that universe, right?
Yes,
like,
yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, like, tackling those stories, and tackling that, yeah, those environments. I think Oat Studios, if you're not familiar with it, it's from Neil Blomkamp, who did, like, District 9 and Elysium. Those are some great shorts. If you haven't seen those, you should definitely go watch them. I think one of the most horrific ones that's so amazing is Zygote. Watch that
really
one.
Cool.
Where that one's another one where it, like, he takes you into these different worlds and these different universes, and you're getting these. They're a little bit more ambiguous. I don't know how else to. I don't know how I'd word it.
Are you talking about the Oak
some
one,
of the narrative
Oak
is more
ones?
Vague. In Oat Studios.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're still, like, immersed in this world for a brief moment, and when you come back out, you're like, oh, I want more of that. Like, this is, like, I want to keep getting immersed in these different worlds, and it really gets your juices flowing, and I don't know. I can't get enough.
One of the things I thought that Love, Death, and Robots did really well, and I'm liking up to this point, is that they keep combining, like, fantasy and sci-fi elements together in a, like, story. Like, one of them is about werewolves joining the United States military. And it's, like, really cool. Like, the whole idea surrounding it is cool. But one of them is about like the transition between spirituality and technology. Some of them are, a lot of them are like doing things where it's taking like one high concept and another high concept and then being like, what happens if we smash them together, right? And I think that shorts have a tendency to be able to do that better because people aren't expecting a lot of explanation of how things are working in a short, and you can kind of just see what happens. And like, this series does a really good job of that on its own. So if you like the kind of like mashups, like modern fantasy or like high gothic sci-fi, you kind of get a lot of that good feel in this show that you wouldn't normally get from other short shows that I've seen before.
It's true. Like, in a short, for the most part, there's no time for exposition. So you don't get to immerse yourself on a knowledge-based level. Like, oh, well, I understand that this is a world where vampires and werewolves coexist together, blah, blah, blah. No, you just experience it. Like, there's no time to explain to you that that's what's happening. So I think it makes it more immersive, and, like, it makes it to where you're connecting quicker with the story and the characters. Now,
yeah, no. If you don't watch horror shorts and you don't like them, this is a good place to start, too, because you can just jump into these, and they're not necessarily, like, a ton to commit to, because these ones are actually kind of shorter than normal shorts are. They're usually about, like, 5 or 10 minutes long, and some shorts can be up to 30, and it's, like, weird, but watch shorts. If you're not consuming horror media, sci-fi shorts, you should be watching them, because they're great.
Some of the best stuff out there. And it's kind of, in a lot of ways, it's the only way that we can really experience some of this stuff, because Hollywood is pretty iffy to give budgets to really original concepts and ideas. They're too scared, and they want what makes money, and these types of stories often aren't seen as making money. And that's reality. They're a gamble in a lot of cases, and so shorts are kind of the only way that we can really experience some of these worlds. And, yeah, you're missing out if you don't give them a shot.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but thanks for listening, and if you like shorts or want to talk about them more, let us know, and we'll talk about them with you. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
See you next week.